could be a translator or English. Okay. All right. Hello. I'm Stephanie, and I am here to share with you about my experience with CYA. And this is my second year of teaching, and at first, I wasn't really interested in teaching again because all I remember from last year was how tired I was, how hot it was, and how badly behaved some of the kids were. But when the time came around to make the decision, for some reason, I said yes. And I think I felt like I had drifted away from God, you know, over the school year, like many of us do. You know, there was always a homework assignment to complete or a test to study for, and I just hadn't really made much time in my life for God. So I figured the summer was a good time to invest some time in Him. And I also thought back to last year, and this time, instead of focusing on all the bad memories, I guess, I remembered how rewarding it was to teach these kids and to see some of them being brought to Christ. It was actually one of the most worthwhile things I've done with my time, and I knew that this was where God wanted me to be. You know, all God was asking from me was 3 weeks of my time, and I figured I could give Him at least that. So during those 3 weeks in July, I think the biggest challenge was the heat. And it was over 100 degrees almost every single day, and even just standing outside was brutal. And but, you know, the heat actually revealed to me how much God provides for us. I remember on the very first day, we were told that our car's air conditioning was broken, and, you know, the first thing that popped into my head was, why am I doing this? You know, can I go home now? But, you know, we prayed about it, and when we got into the van, the air conditioning seemed to be working fine. And I knew that this wasn't just a coincidence. It was obviously God was, you know, working in us, and He was providing for us. And during our third week, my group was told that we would have to teach outside, and the last week was by far the hottest of all 3 weeks. I was pretty mad, and I kept on thinking about how uncomfortable the teachers would be and the children would be, and, you know, no one would listen, and everybody would just be focusing on the heat. So I did the only thing I could, and I prayed. It wasn't really a prayer. It was more just me kind of complaining, you know, to God. But surprisingly enough, God answered my prayer, and we got to teach in an air-conditioned apartment that was empty. And it just reminded me about, you know, how loving God is. You know, I was just, you know, being angry and ungrateful. I mean, we could have taught outside. There was a nice shade. But, you know, God just, even though I was ungrateful, God still answered me. And I think the most important thing I learned this summer was actually something that was taught to me by the kids. You see, some of these children, although they were young, they have a faith much stronger than mine. I have always struggled with, you know, questions and doubts about God and the what-ifs. I think that we don't really take children seriously because we assume that they don't know everything about God. But the truth is we don't really need to understand everything. These children understand only the things that need to be understood, you know, such as Jesus died for us and He's the only way to get to heaven. We have been taught these truths. I've been taught these truths since I was a kid. But, you know, as we get older and life starts to get more hectic and complicated, we begin questioning God. And we start doubting and wondering and asking why. But the answers to our questions, you know, they can't really be found here. And knowing the answers to, you know, theological questions and stuff, it's really not important. It doesn't really mean anything. All that matters is having faith in Christ. And the rest we can put aside. Spending time with these kids has really taught me just to let go of all my questions and doubts, except the fact that I won't receive an answer anytime soon. And it's helped me just to really focus on God's love and glory, which is really the only thing that matters here. And so before I end, I would like to share a verse with you from Luke 18:17. It says, "Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never receive it. Will never enter it." Yeah. And so that has really just been revealed to me this summer, and it's really stood out to me. So, thank you.
Hi, my name is Michael. For all of you guys that don't know me, I don't like talking in front of people, especially big audiences or like little kids. And so when Auntie Julie asked me to do CYIA, I was like, okay, I'll think about it. And then after school ended, she asked me, I was like, okay, I'll do it. But then I was hoping to push it later. So maybe, you know, it'd be too late to go there, or maybe Auntie Julie will forget. But then Auntie Julie, she did the smart thing, and she went to my parents, and she asked, and they're like, okay, Michael can go. And I'm like, what? And so when I found out about this, I wasn't really happy, because summertime is normally the time where I just stay home and sleep in and relax. But then my dad told me about COIA and the news, and it was you had to spend 5 weeks of your summer teaching little kids, waking up really early, and so I was kind of sad. And God really helped me this summer, and the first 2 weeks of camp were, I thought it was going to be terrible and it was going to be awful, but the teachers were really nice. They gave us helpful information, but the information isn't exactly 100% correct, because the second week we went out teaching clubs in Missouri, and so when we were teaching, the clubs sort of were a little bit different for everybody. And my club, we only had 2 kids, and the other club had like 10, 7, 14, you know, anything bigger than 5. And so they told us not to be discouraged if we only had like 2 kids. And so I didn't really know what to expect, and so I just went out there and just taught. And God, He just gave me words. Normally I would prepare like 10 hours before saying a speech or something like that. I would like practice it out loud for, I don't know, 5 hours-ish. But at CYA, I just decided to let everything go to God, and I didn't prepare as much, which isn't as good as it would have been, but I just started talking, and I was just like, I have a conscience, so I'm just sitting there, I'm just speaking, I'm like, how do I get these words? I mean, I don't have a piece of paper in front of me or anything, I just have this picture book. And so I was really wondering how I was talking, and God was speaking through me to the kids, and that's one way He affected me. And the other way is during our 3 weeks of training, I would always get up at 7-ish in the morning, and then we would go to Auntie Julie's house by 9 o'clock, and then we would read some Bible verses. And one came from 1 Corinthians 13, and it says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And it keeps on talking about that if you do everything, but you have no love, it is nothing. And so one way that it affected me, this verse affected me, was during the 3rd week of the last club. My dad was there on Monday, and one of the kids, he was banging on the door, and he was trying to get out, and Stella and Kason let him out, and then he came back in again, which was kind of annoying. But it was hard to love these kids because they smell bad. They're really noisy during class. Some of them were hurting each other. They were fighting. They weren't really paying attention. So it was really hard to love these kids. I don't know if you guys have had kids that are hard to love, but these kids were really hard to love. And God just helped me see past all the stuff on the surface, like they were noisy, and God helped me see what their lives were truly like, because we went in some of the apartment homes, and some of the people there, the grown-ups, they weren't really friendly. They would be like, no, and they would slam the door. One time I even asked, and I just said, hi, and they shut the door on me. I was like, what? And so these people, they weren't really nice to their kids, and so the kids just wanted some attention. You have to notice that, and God just helped me notice like some of the kids that needed attention. And there's this one kid, you kind of have to clean up your terminology or use of words better, because if you use the word saved, he thinks you're talking about being saved from drowning or something. And so when I was counseling him back there, he said, I asked him, have you been saved? He's like, yes. And then so we went over that like 5 times, and then I asked, where have you been saved? And he's like, at a pool. And I'm like, okay, so who saved you? And he said, a guy. And I'm like, okay, do you know his name? No. Do you know what he did? Yeah, I was swimming and I couldn't swim. And so I was like, okay, that's not the right save. And so I have to switch up my word use, and so I used the word believed in Jesus, and he, after 3 or 4 questions, he finally said, no, he hasn't. And the day before, Sky already taught him before, because he was in Sky's club the day before we combined, and so he said, yeah, I've already been saved. And so he thought Sky was talking about being saved from drowning. And so I finally helped him clear up the whole believing in Jesus and being saved thing. So those were 2 different things. And God really helped me there, because I'm in club, they taught you that counseling would be pretty easy, but it really wasn't. And I'm not one that's very patient sometimes. And so I really had to spend 20 or 30 minutes talking to this kid and trying to get him to get some stuff through his head, because I don't think he has a really good understanding of the Bible, and so it takes a while. And so God has given me patience to like endure with these kids, and it was really, really hard, especially with one kid. And he started like clawing at me, and he started like hurting me or like pinching me, and he's like, does this hurt? I just sit there, because obviously if I say yes, he'll be like, okay, I can go hurt some of the other teachers or kids too. And I'm like, that's not a good idea. And so I just say no. And so he's like, pinch, pinch, pinch. And he kept on doing it. But eventually he stopped after 1 or 2 minutes, because he's like, well, he's not paying attention. It doesn't hurt him. So he just sat back down in his chair and he started crying, I want my mom. And I'm like, another thing goes wrong. And so eventually God helped me love this kid and pay attention to him, and like whenever he needed, you just have to like tell him, if you stay at the end of club, you get a piece of candy. Do you want candy? No. Oh, but at the end, he always came back to get candy, and he was really confused, and so you just had to show him some love and show him God's love and just reach out to him.
So, hello everyone, my name is Kaysen, and I'm also here to share about my experience with CYA this year. And just like Stephanie, this was my second year teaching, and at first I actually wasn't even going to teach. When Annie Julie asked me, I said I had to go take some classes at JCCC, which my mom planned on signing me up for, but we had a little trouble, like problem signing up for the class. I never like actually got to go. And it just turns out that everything was actually in God's plan, because for a couple of days, the other group was teaching by us. They had, like, a couple of people missing, like, 2 people missing out of 3. But because our group had extra people, so we can go help them out. And so God just knew, and I was really glad that I was able to help out. And because I didn't go to camp this year, and I didn't really learn my lessons that well, because I had to just read the book by myself and practice, like, with a wall instead of real children, I was really nervous for the first couple of days of teaching. But every morning we would go to Andy Julie's house, and we would sit in a circle, we would pray together, and God just really guided me through my lessons, and I just knew what to say when it, the time came to the little children. And all the clubs went really well. So the first week was really fun, and it was exciting, and it was like new to me again, but it got old really quick. And the second week, I just really didn't want to get out of bed in the morning. It was just way too hot, and I have to get up at 7, and we have to stand outside in the sun. Like Stephanie said, it was like 100 degrees outside, and we have to play with the children and run around all day, and it's just so hot. And the second week, we also had to teach preschoolers, and they were like little kids, and I felt like none of them would even listen. All they did was ask for candy, and they just hit each other, and some of them even napped during class, and we woke them up, and they just like fall back to sleep. And it was just, it kind of discouraged me for the first couple of clubs that we taught, because they were so little and nobody was paying attention. But we went back to a place where we were there last year. And right when I opened the door, this little boy said, hey, you're Miss Lee. And I was kind of freaking out. I was like, how does he know my name? I don't know who he is. And I had to ask Sky who the little boy was. And Sky said, you know, we taught this boy last year. Do you not remember? I was like, I have no idea who he is. But he actually remembered me from a year before, and I had, you know, I don't even remember him. And I talked to him, and he, like, even remembers the details that I, like, the details of the lessons that I had taught. And this just really boosted me up. Because, and then at first I was like, you know, I'm just talking to these kids who won't even respond to any of my questions, and all they do is hit each other, and they're not even listening. But then I knew that maybe they don't, like, respond to your questions at the time, but, you know, in their hearts, maybe they don't, like, think about it, but the facts that we state over and over again, they're really simple, and all it is that God loves you, and Jesus died for you, and he's the only way for you to be with God. And as long as they know that, maybe they don't even think about it now, but maybe in their, later on in their lives that they will. And as long as they understood these facts, then, you know, no matter how hot it is, then it's all worth it. And I also would like to share a verse with you guys, and it is in Matthew 19:14. And it says, Jesus said, "The little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And that little children, maybe you think that they're not listening, but they're really important because you will plant seeds in their hearts, and maybe later on in their life when they grow up, they will understand those. Thank you.
Okay. 好，弟兄姊妹好。Let's see。这个我要跟大家分享我们这个 summer 我们家里面的情的一些分享。我们在我们在学校结束的两个礼拜以前，我们家从三个不同的地方飞到台湾的桃园机场会合。从 North Carolina， 从 Ann Arbor Michigan， 从 Kansas City， 我们全家在那边团圆。神把我们带到台湾，有两个原因。我先讲，其中一个原因是，下面一个 slide， 我们，哈 ，Sure， OK， 好 ，I will switch， All right， Okay, let's see. Okay, so we stay, this part of, one part of our trip was, well, we have the opportunity to visit various missionaries that stationed in Taiwan for various lengths of time. And we started with Franklin's. Franklin stayed there for the last 28 years of their life, and they plan to continue to stay there. In fact, we had a fellowship one night. We tried to get him to come back and to, you know, maybe work with us a little bit. And he said, no, the Lord has called me to stay there and to continue to serve him there. He's very clear about he has given his best 28 years of his life for Taiwan, and he planned to continue to stay there. And we stayed there in a little tiny apartment, and Jian, his wife, had made this wonderful, you know, place home in the midst of busy, noisy, you know, Taipei place. They stay in Taiwan Taida campus area. Next, Jian, we visit Jian's ministry place. She has now retired, but she had worked at Morrison, Bethany Morrison Academy as a librarian. Next, please. And this is where she called home. Everybody is her kids, and she's part of this place. Next. And this guy that we met, this tall guy, actually I'm very, very low IQ in terms of sports, but this guy is supposed to be a very famous basketball player that everybody all know of. I don't know, but he's supposed to be a star. And he came over to Taiwan and see Taiwan as a mission field. So he He basically used Morrison Academy as a base to reach out his community there. And he actually was on the news while he was playing the game that he refused to play on Sunday whenever the Sunday game was scheduled on Sunday. And this is all part of another heritage that another missionary passed down. This week we learned his name is Eric Little. Eric Little refused to run for the Olympic game because he insisted that he put God first. So he go and worship the Lord on Sunday and let his gold medal chance go by. But the Lord restored that, because he believed that as long as he's willing to run for the first half of the race, he will trust the Lord to run to help him through for the rest of the race. You see, because he was only trained for 200 meter dash, his body structure can only help him to run 100 meter or 200 meter. It's a very short dash. But because he surrendered the chance of running for the 200 meter dash for that schedule on Sunday, so he had to he got another chance to run on the 400 meter, but he wasn't trained for it. So he said, "I will trust the second part of the race to the Lord," and he won the gold. He won the Olympic gold for the 400 meter run. So it's something we learned this week. Next one. And this is their co-workers that we met. The Chinese lady standing in the middle, she worked with them for 18 years. The Franklins saw their kid grow up, and now the Franklins is ministering and mentoring her son, who he just watched him grow. Next. This is the library that Jian helped to design. She is such a very detailed person, and she just poured out her 28 years of librarian experience into this library design for the purpose of next generation. The new librarians can use this place very smoothly and run the operation. Next. And this is just the environment that she created for the class. Very, very warm. Next. This is the office that Franklin, Bill Franklin, is in Taipei. In this little, outside this office, he said when they first moved into this office, there was a tree about the size of a bush, you know, this high. And now he pointed that tree. He said everything else got torn down and rebuilt. The building, you know, just got, it was a one-story house, residential house, but now it's like four or five-story, very nice office. Everything's changed except those tree, a row of tree, still there. And the tree now is, I said, at least 10-story tall. So he has been there faithfully for a long time. Next. Then we went on to Danshui to spend about a day with Mark and Alicia and their little kid, baby Phoebe. They right now they're with Youth in Action Ministry. Actually preparing themselves for the long-term mission that their heart desire and the goal is to move to China in Yunnan area to serve the Miao people. They said right now they're just doing the little things to prepare them, but they are very faithful. They have opened up through YIAM, they have opened up a coffee shop. They don't charge anything for the coffee or the drink that they serve there, with the purpose of draw people there for gathering. Why did they come? People come there to listen to people speak English, to talk anything, so that they just for a culture experience. But through that opportunity, they would share the gospel and later to establish contact for discipleship. They live in very simple place. Their house are very tiny again, and everything is given. It's donated to them. They live in a very, very humble place. Their microwaves were broken, but they just live without it. They don't have a moped. They don't have a transportation. He walks to everywhere. He say, well, it's no big deal. It just take longer, that's all. And so next. He mainly, there is two major campuses. There's two colleges there. This college is actually established by Ma Jie, who is another missionary from England, right? I think. Huh? Oh, from Canada, sorry. Yeah. So, but Ma Jie has been there. Had established this school, college. So we were there visiting. This college, and along with another university, was their main target of student ministry. But there's many people from all over Taiwan to come to this coffee shop to meet and gather and just to talk. So. So this is Zhenli Dashi. Next. And also, go ahead. Zhenli Dashi. And this is the church that Ma Jie established in Danshui. Okay. So, and they, it just reminded me, even though they are there, they're just tiny people. They're reminding me that in the little things they do, they're doing it so faithfully. This week we learned that Gladys, who is a little woman, but she has big God, and that she has encountered many, many difficulties, but she was faithful in the very little things, and her great God always came through for her. Go back a little bit. This one, the next missionary family we visit is Loveland's. He had came back to visit us many times. Loveland, actually, you don't see Pam here. You see the two twins, and Pam is not here. Actually, during the time of our visit, Pam was actually here in Kansas City visiting her parents. Her parents' physical condition is very bad. Pam is the only daughter, only relative they have. So they have basically nobody else to take care of them. So I realized that it's such a sacrifice for the first generation of missionary to go over there. They have to leave their elderly parents. We all can experience that as a first generation immigrants come to this country. There's many roadblocks. There's many things that we have to forsake, leaving our country. Well, that's what their experience. Loveland is trying to, they have been there in Taiwan for the last 7 years. They have, in our conversation, next. He realized that, he turned around and just, as we walked down that busy street night market, he turned around and just said, you know, I sometimes feel like the Lord bring me here. And as I serve, he's actually preparing the second generation. He's actually preparing my children. So he was only there for 7 years. I was so touched that he is even thinking about surrendering his second generation for the people in Taiwan. And these two kids, just lovable. They speak totally Chinese, Taiwanese accent. Speak just like Taiwanese with ahs and ees and ah, all that. And then their favorite food is stinky tofu. It's just genuine Taiwanese. They go to regular public school. They have to endure all the headaches that all the local students have to go through. But the Lord has made them an overcomer. Next. And here you are. You can see the dad, Loveland, is sharing, and the two twins are serving along the side of their dad. And I just find out this week during the VBS week, as one of the co-worker from his church came and share with us about them, and I found out that Loveland was actually their pastor. So I was so touched. A church was willing to send away their own pastor to become a missionary to another country. They send away their pastor, and many co-workers that followed. I was just so touched by the love that they have for their Lord and willing to surrender and obey. Next. We left Taichung and Taipei. Now we come to the other side of the island, which is on the east coast. This is Hualien, and we will hear more of it, but we get a little taste of the life that our Davina and Carissa have, and they will come and share with us more next. And this is one of the villages that we visit, so we will see more. All in all, it's just there was so much love there, so much giving. And this week, can we go back to that the previous slide? This week we learned from Amy Carmichael. She said that you can give without love, but you cannot love without giving. And I feel like this is our brothers and sisters are doing on the mission field. They're just giving so much of their love because they realize the love of God has for them. Next. And we truly enjoy the church that we in Hualien. Was glad that they were planning to build a new built church building to house this ever increasing body of Christ there locally. Next, I said there was twofold going back to Taiwan for two reasons. One reason was visit missionary. Another reason was to take kids to look for their roots. Next. It was very important for them to bring their ama to the final resting place that God has prepared for her on this earth. So the kids it was such a good closure for the kids, for the family. And we had another chance of reuniting with our family, another chance of sharing what the Lord has done. Not far away from this gravesite was another gravesite. Next picture. And this grave is very old. It is it's over 100 years old. This is the grave of Thomas Barclay. Thomas Barclay, Barclay, and he was a missionary to Taiwan in the 1800s. I don't know if you guys heard of Cambridge 7. Hudson Taylor wrote this book about his passion and sharing his mission experience in China. And a group of young people really caught on that vision in Cambridge, and which Lord sent to China. And later on, they were referred as Cambridge 7. Well, during the same time, there was another group from Glasgow, Scotland, and it's called. They later on referred them as Glasgow 3. And Thomas Barclay is one of them, got sent to Taiwan.
Next.
And he was there for over 60 years. And he's mainly in Tainan, which is the southern part of Taiwan. And he has done many things. Among them, he served the Taiwanese people by, of course, sharing the gospel, and in a practical way, because at that time, the Taiwan is very not culturally developed. It's very poor, and it's agriculture-based society. So he helped Taiwan to build hospital and schools. Next. He had established a seminary, Tainan Seminary, a theological college and seminary in 1878. And next. And that's the campus. Next. Next. And Robert said he used to sit in the same place with his mom. So he took a picture with his son. Okay, next. Next. He also put in the verbal language, Taiwanese. Taiwanese doesn't have a written language, but he translated the phonics or the sound of Taiwanese speaking language with the Roman, is that right? Roma, pinyin. Is that Romanized phonics? I think that's what you say. So that any Taiwanese can pick up a Bible and be able to read it and sound it out in their own language, in verbally. Okay. Next. And he also established a newsletter and then a printing press for the communication of among all the Christians, and also for the outreach purpose. And of course, eventually there was a church. Next. And many people still meet there. Yes, especially the family member. Okay, we're going to stop here a little bit. This place, let me see. Oh, we're going to hold on a little bit. At this time, if you can... audio visual can go ahead and queue up to the VBS DVD. I will share a story. Missionary, a lot of time we it sounded like a history. It sounded so far so far and so long ago, but and sometimes it sounded so impersonal because it's just a story that happened at a faraway land to another country. That is not related to us, and we never see the result. So, but I would like to share with you a story that that happened during Barclay time, while he was there serving the people in Taiwan. It was a farmer. He like any other farmer, he has to work hard just to barely produce enough food, so he was very poor, like the most of the farmers at that time. But the things that was different about him was he loved his wife. His wife isn't physically wasn't doing very well, so he helped out his wife, and they don't have a lot of children. They have difficulty bearing children. And so one time, his wife was, after many miscarriage, his wife's family had a baby. And after the delivering, his wife had had an infection. It's a very, very bad one. He didn't know what to do, and someone loaned him the money so that he can, like $5 or something, I don't know, 50 cents, just so that he can go get an oxen cart to push his wife and trying to get some medical attention. And at that time, he then pushed his wife to a missionary-based hospital that Barclay has established. And it's at that facility, he received the gospel. He heard about the love of Jesus Christ, and he had received, become a Christian. And then he said, with sincere heart, he said, "If the Lord ever save my wife, I will consecrate my son, my only son, to the Lord." And the Lord did. The Lord did heal his wife. And by and by, the son, his only son, grew up to a point that he's mature and he's ready to leave home. And he wanted to, and he had his dream of go to a college and become somebody that he wanted to become. And his father said, "No, you can't, because you belong to the Lord." So that son, that his only son, went to the Tainan Seminary and study and become a pastor. And but the story didn't end there. The pastor got married, and they have six little children, and like one after another. As these children grow, the pastor minister, the pastor become very ill. When the pastor's oldest son was 15, 16 years old, the pastor died and passed away. The pastor's wife left with six orphans and to care for, and also the grandpa and grandma that she has to take care of. So people help her to find a job at Gongbaoshe, which is the publishing company, and that's how she sustained her six children and two older parents as a daughter-in-law, and all the way until her old age continued to do that at the Gongbaoshe, or the publication place. Her children, every single one of this widowed children grew up and loved the Lord and become very successful in the society. And some become a professor, and some are this businessman, and some are different walks of life. And the grandson and the grandchildren of that farmer now serve among us together with the brothers and sisters here in Kansas City. And so many times what the Lord has started, we don't know. It won't be until many, many generations later that we see the results. But every single effort that these missionaries have made, it will be like a seed, and it will promise to bear fruit. Because the sea is the sea of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that life will never die. That life is an overcoming death, the life of resurrection life that they're sowing in the life of the people that they're working with. After I came home from the trip, I was just so touched with what the Lord has shown me. So the first thing I want to do is to share it with our kids. And I have desire to share with the missionary right there with on the mission field, and also I have desire to share with a missionary that it's a historical missionary, like Barclay, like all the other, that they have finished their race and passed on their torch to the next generation. And the Lord has, I don't know how to start that. All I know is, you know, that this seems to be a good idea, but I don't know how to come about that. But the Lord is so gracious to the children here and to our church. One day, a letter, a promotion letter from Voice of Martyr came through and showed us they had just produced a videotape of the hero of the missionaries, and that they have did the research and have actually presented in a cartoon format and condensed in the 30 minutes format. So not knowing what I was thinking, Robert took that brochure and just had a prompting from the Lord and go ahead and purchase that. So he bought it, and I opened it, and I say, praise the Lord, this is exactly what I was looking for. So the Lord had provided the missionary of our time and the missionary hero from the past. So that's how this VBS came about, and I truly wanted to praise the Lord and was truly touched by all the co-workers who is willing to step forward to run the first half of the race and trust God to finish the rest. So enjoy the DVD that our young adult had put together.
Thank you. are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus,
we are really running out of time here. I guess there's only 15 minutes. That's why they are all up here to save some time. Okay, I'm going to go pretty quick on. But I want to give you some details because last week we talked about as a team that we have a goal to expand the territory, expand the ministry from this church onto Hualien. And then from Hualien, not only the ministry that the Vina Carissa has so far, we want to expand that into more territories, and that's why we went into these three different places. The first place is the Sanxing. I want to share a little bit about more about some of the boys. Now, that's a team a goal for the team, but I want to share something that I personally, you know, I originally thought that I may not be able to go, but then later on I find out that I got really opened up way for me to go. So I kind of make a decision, I mean, not make a decision, make a request to God that I will be able to build some relationship with some of the boys over there. And these are some of the boys that I really get to know a little bit more than before. So I'm going to go through some of these plays. The first picture here, this boy here is Wei Zi. That's his name. And this is the first village that we went to. And when we first get there, I can totally tell he's a rebel and he's a leader, that combination. And he's rebellious and he's unhappy, he's bitter, but then yet he's a leader. And I can see the whole group of children will, you know, when his mood is good, everybody behaves a little bit better. When he's in a bad mood, everybody kind of behaves not as good. So, and he's one of the boys that I was teaching a little bit when we had the small group. And I remember one time when I was saying something, and I asked a question that's really simple, biblical question. I heard him, you know, under his breath, he said something. 我已经都受洗了，还问这些问题。 So what he's saying is that, I've been baptized already. Why are you asking such stupid questions or something like that? So I know that he's a Christian. That's kind of my first enlightenment. Oh, he's a Christian. Yes, he's so rebellious. So later on, I find out more about him. I didn't know at the time that he was the son of the leader in charge there, I think he's a 传道, and he's a minister sent from Lingliangtang from Taipei to this place. Now, this Sanxing village is a very, very small place. There's like nothing there. It's just absolutely nothing there. So they moved from Taipei, you know, which is a very big city, into this little place 7 months ago. So they've only been there 7 months to start this ministry working with the people. And now it dawned on me, okay, that is why he's so rebellious. He's so bitter about it because he's about 15 years old. He left all his friends in Taipei, left the school, and then came into this little village that he knows nobody, and that's his parents' vision. So I think he's bitter because of that. So having understand that a little bit about him, you know, he's a Christian. He's a leader. He had potential. So things changed a little bit for me. Next slide. This is his best friend. He also lives in Sanxing. In this little town, there's nobody. So the two of them are of the same age. So they become pretty good friends. And this is when we have a time of prayer. So I said, can we all pray together and bow down and pray? And this guy, his name is Guo Zhao. He told me that, well, I stopped praying since I was 11. He's 15. So I was kind of curious, why did you stop praying after 11-year-old? During that session, I didn't ask him. But later on, I asked him, why did you not pray after 11? He said, because of some of the books I read, there's no God. God is only somebody, weak people who had no way out, and they just think of something, a God, to depend on. So that's his response. So later on at lunch, I talked to him a little bit more, and he told me, I asked him about his family. He said his father is dead. It's not alive. But later on, further, I asked him more questions. He said, actually, my father left the family. So as a result that he's like, doesn't have a father. And that might be one of the reasons. And some of the books he read may be some of the reason why he's rejecting God. So as I was talking to him, Wei Zi, the leader, right, the rebel leader came over. And he started defending his faith. He said, how can you say there's no God? Just look at all the surrounding. That obviously there's God. So he started defending his faith. So even though Wei Zi is so rebellious, but deep down he knows that his roots is Christianity, that he will defend the faith when it's necessary. So that gave me an enlightenment later on. So when we departed from that village, so Davina asked us to have a time of blessing for each for one another. So I went over and blessed him. I told him, you are a leader. You need to revive this place. There are people in this village, not a lot, but then you can be a leader. You can make a big difference. So he said, 怎么可能？不会，怎么可能? No, that's not possible. But I think deep down he'd take that word. And I heard, I don't know for sure myself, but then they were telling me, as we were saying goodbye to that village, he's the only one who was kind of tearing up, you know, 开始有点哭，但是他忍住, you know, he's trying not to cry in front of people. So those are those two boys there, the next slide. I got my 5 minutes, so maybe I'll stop here. There's a few more boys, but that's okay. We'll talk about it another time.
Okay. So one of the big lessons I learned this year was the importance and the power of prayer. And I have like a whole year's full of stories to tell you about prayer, but we'll have to come to my house to hear it or something. But I've learned that there's nothing that I can do. There's no plan I can make, no words I can say that's more powerful than praying for my students, praying for my coworkers. And when I really earnestly pray and seek God for these things, He is able to do miracles. And I could tell you more about miracles too, but another day. So we made these prayer cards, and some of you may have seen. We passed them out for VBS on Friday, and they have our different students on them. Some of them are from the missions trip, some of them from the whole year, and except we ran out. So we're going to make more, and we're going to put them in the back table next week. But they have the different students, and we hope that you can take some of them and pray for these kids. And if you want to know any of their stories, you can email us or talk to us. And there's, out of our thousands and thousands of the students that we've met, there's hundreds that we remember their faces, their names, their stories. Even if we've been able to only visit them once or twice, they're very precious. And so these are the prayer cards. And just want to share a very quick story on prayer. There's this one class I had, and they're actually Hongye, the village we go visit the most. When they first came to our school this year, they're so, like, active. They're all hyperactive. They're all, like, lying on the ground and spinning in circles. And, like, I had class with these seven boys in my class, and they're just never sitting in the chairs, always scribbling on the board, always, like, about to head out the window and hop out. And I think I tried everything. I tried to be nice to them. I tried to be stern with them. I tried every teaching technique I learned through the whole years. And, like, nothing worked. I took them to the office. I marched the whole class in the office. And one of our guy teachers, like, lectured them. And they're all like, okay, sorry, teacher. And I was like, maybe tomorrow. Tomorrow's Thursday was almost the second to last day of small groups. And I was like, maybe they'll be good. And Thursday was the worst day. Like, they didn't do anything I said. I couldn't teach them anything. But Thursday morning, I prayed to God. I said, God, I don't think I can teach them any English. I don't think I can teach them any character. I can't teach them, like, to be good students. I can't teach them anything. But can you just help me to help them to know that I love them and that you love them through me? And it was a really bad class. And, like, it got to the point that I was just so fed up, I cried right in front of them. I was like, I'm fed up, and I just walked out of class. And I just stood out there for a couple minutes until I calmed down. I came back in, and they were, like, silent and sitting in their chairs and staring at me. And they were, like, so good for the rest of the class. And I was like, okay, do you guys want to play that game that we were trying to play earlier? They're like, no, teacher, we want to read that book. We want to read a book. And so I read the book to them. It was a book, You Are Special, by Max Lucado. And they just listened, and a couple of them teared up a bit. And, like, I knew that God really answered prayer. And even though things don't go, like, the way I expect them to, and, like, I couldn't teach them anything all week, but, like, when I pray that prayer to God, I know that's His heart, and that's, and He answered.
So. Haven't even started, and I'm crying. Okay, so I'm very determined to end on time today. So, I'll just say first, we just had a quick little meeting with my dad, and I didn't talk to my mom or grandma yet, but probably August 19th on the Friday night, if anybody wants to hear, like, details and more stories and just how God works and what everyone, like, what you can do to help, August 19th on Friday, August 19th, at our house. I don't know what time. Oh, right. Thursday? Okay, never mind. We'll decide the time later. Maybe Thursday, August 18th. So, where's the... Oh, George does it? Okay, cool. Basically, I had 3 points to my sharing today, and I'll give you my points. I had 2 burdens that God has given me this year, and the 3rd point is something that God's taught me. And 2 burdens. One is for, God's renewed my heart for homosexual ministry. And I can't tell you the background or anything, but it's a really big problem in Hualien. We, for the first time this year, we had a gay pride parade in Hualien. They've had them in Taipei for a while. And the movement, like the homosexual movement, is really, like, just getting really active in Taiwan. And the biggest, like, my burden is because we don't, like, the churches are not equipped to face this problem. The kids, like, I ask students, you know, what do you know about homosexuality? Do you, like, do your churches talk about it? Do your parents teach you? Do you, you know? And they're like, I don't know. I'm like, do you know that the Bible says it's wrong? And they said, oh, yeah, yeah, we know that. These are church kids, okay, not even the ones not in church. They really, like, other than that, they don't have any resources. And can you go to the next slide? Yeah. Basically, God's really giving me a burden for it. And so, like, there's one big prayer request for God to, like, train me, give me resources, and, like, build the relationship with the churches so we can start, like, addressing these. A lot of kids grow up in very, very at-risk environments. That means they grow up very unhealthy. They don't have good role models. And, like, if you're a little girl growing up in a village where the, like, adults, the uncles and the all the dads, like, they're drunk on the roads, and, like, all these things, really bad things will happen to little girls. I wouldn't want to be a little girl if I grew up in an environment like that either. You know, so they grow up in very, like, dangerous environments. So I'm going to skip that. Share about another time. My second burden is, can you go to the I See a Generation slide? Actually, yeah, go to I See Generation. Next one, actually. So basically, my second burden. God's given me a burden, not just to, like, minister to these little kids who have needs. God's really been stirring my heart, and I want to see these kids raised up. I don't think I can share about it. Basically, this is the verse God gave me. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be the repairer of the breach and the restorer of the streets to dwell in. And so I want, like, I really want to see the youth in Hualien raised up. But go to the next slide. Basically, there's 2 groups on my heart. It's the youth that are in Taiwan. I want to see the youth from the church that I go to. I want to see the youth in the villages who have nothing raised up, because they're really tender-hearted. The reason why I'm still... I hate crying and talking. I think the youth in Hualien, the kids and the youth in Hualien, are incredibly tender-hearted. Maybe because they don't have very much. So when you teach them, you give them anything, they're really, like, open to accepting and learning a lot. Even when they're tough, like, ways to that boy that my dad was talking about. But he's the one, he has a heart for his faith. He has a strong faith, even though he has all these other problems. But they're really tender-hearted. And then for my second group is the youth, our youth here in the States. So I see, like, city kids who have everything in Hualien. They're really, like, ungrateful and everything. And I see the village kids really grateful for everything you give them. And then I think, actually, I grew up like a city kid, just like those little brats that I teach in the cram school. But I realized, like, God gave me, like, the life that he gave me growing up here, growing up in the States, growing up in such a privileged family, because he gave me so much so that I have more to give. And I just want to encourage our youth here and the parents that everything God trains us for, everything God gives us, like, God will use in our lives. It doesn't matter if it's, like, things we can't even see how we're going to use it in the future in school or anything like that. But that's one thing that I've learned. God has given me training in so many areas, even though it's, like, to me, I'm like, oh, I'm not very good at that. I'm not very good at that. I'm not good at that. But compared to the kids there, like, even a little knowledge of English, a little knowledge of music, a little knowledge of anything, God will use that. And I think it's a challenge to do everything and receive everything that you're learning wholeheartedly. And then the third point is what I've learned, like one thing that God's really been teaching me spiritually this year. And I heard a sermon recently about not only making plans for our lives, for what we should do, or making plans for our kids, what they should do, but plans for who we want to be in Christ. We have to challenge ourselves to grow spiritually. And that doesn't mean, oh, I'm going to go serve on VBS. Oh, I'm going to go on a missions trip. That is true. We need to challenge ourselves in that way. But really challenge ourselves in how we're going to grow in Christ. Really challenge ourselves in how we're going to grow in Christ. And for me, during the missions trip, I really... Thank you. During the missions trip, I had more than one incident of really, really losing my temper. Worse than I have ever, really, outside of family members. And it was a little bit scary. It scared me. It scared other people. And when God calls us to do something, we answer the call. God gives us all that we need. But when we let go of our relationship with Christ, when we let go of our time in God's Word, can you go down to one slide? I think it's one slide down. There. We'll read the bottom part. I'm going to read the part. If you want to be of use to God, maintain the proper relationship with Jesus Christ by staying focused on Him, and He will make use of you every minute you live. So I think God continually reminded me that when I'm busy, I can't let that time of prayer go. I can't leave time in God's Word without receiving from Him. I can't just just read it and go on. I have to receive my strength from Him. I have to have my focus right every morning before my day starts. And as soon as I let go of the most important thing, life kind of, especially under those circumstances, your life kind of falls into pieces. And maybe when we're not under stress, maybe when we're not busy, when we're life is going smoothly, you don't really feel it if you don't read your Bible for a day or two or three and don't pray for a week, a month, you know. And you might not feel it so much, but that is the most important thing in our lives. And we have to have a goal and a vision for how we're going to grow. What are we going to read in the Bible for this year? How do we want to know God more this year? And I think that's one very important goal. I think for youth, when we're young, we need to set those kinds of goals for ourselves. We're going to grow in our walk with Christ. It doesn't just happen. I mean, sometimes it does, because God teaches us in spite of ourselves. But if we want to really grow, we have to make those plans in our lives to grow in Christ. So I think that's the third point, what I really learned this year. And last thing I want to say is just about the missions trip. Having the team come over to Hualien for a missions trip is one of my answers to prayer and dreams come true, I guess you could say, because it's something there's something about taking a short-term mission trip, doing a camp, that opens doors that we can't open, that don't open with us normally. The team coming had, even though it's little, sometimes it's just little things, it was only, 7 days of actual camps, 8 days, and every little thing that the team did, even the fighting, even the arguments, everything had an impact and really impacted the kids. And this is one of the verses that, go down to Isaiah 55, sorry. It's one of the verses that we claimed for our time there. And basically, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, it rains the ground, it pours rain on the ground, and there's seed and there's bread. And just like that, God's word, when God's word goes out, it will not return to me empty. And it will accomplish, because it's God's work, it will accomplish the thing He has for it. And those souls, the souls of the kids, those are the Lord's souls. And those souls, will turn to Him because of His word. So, I think I'll stop there. Thank you. So just a reminder, those little prayer cards, we're going to put them back there starting next week. Maybe we have a few for this week. And if you guys want to pray for the students, or if you want to hear more about it, we'll have a little meeting at our house sometime and share about it. So thank you.